Dre.
Couple of days and
man,
the whole world has changed.
When is the calm month gonna start? Like every time it's like, you're like, oh, I'll just take a couple of days off from looking at the news. The world blew up. Like what?
World is on fire. Yeah. Didn't we had an episode titled that already,
I know.
Right? Or maybe it was the country's on fire.
Yeah. But America is on fire.
Yes. Yeah. But now it's
the world.
It's the whole world.
Yeah.
Like we published our market commentary mm-hmm. and then like the next day.
Yeah. But we did say in there one of the big risks is geopolitics.
Oh, for sure.
And wars.
We're not saying we called it, but
yeah, we didn't call
it. We knew it was a risk.
It's like
an emerging risk.
Like, think about it like this. When you've got the president we have and you've got what's happening with sentiment, from, you know, the Chinese leader to the Russian leader to the Israeli leader, like this sort of stuff, you can kind of blanketly say geopolitics is going to be an issue. You don't expect it's going to be a war,
right?
But it's always a threat.
Well, some people in the administration aren't calling it a war, but
yeah,
that's related.
Yeah, because wars aren't popular. Like, the thing is, like, if you think about this administration, they really ran on this idea that, like, Iraq was a huge mistake.
No one war. We're solving wars. I should get a peace prize for all the wars I ended.
And by the way, it was George Bush who took us into Iraq. But, like, Obama should have ended it. Biden should have gotten us out of there. It didn't take 20 years to. And now we're in another conflict that could be a multi-year conflict, even though they're saying it could be over in a few weeks. I don't know.
Every time I think I've seen the most unbelievable, something else tops it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to say the other T word.
Yeah. So let's get into it. So this week we're talking about the war report. War, huh? What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Except.
So what?
I mean, I've been listening to different researchers who we get inspiration from.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to a webcast yesterday that pointed out that during times of war, if not during the war or soon after, the markets actually respond pretty well.
Yeah.
And I hate to even characterize it that way. I feel bad that I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's my job to think about it, but, you know, the minute they show the faces and the names of the soldiers who were killed, it just seems like secondary. But we live in an economy, and so we have to think about that those things.
Yeah, and we don't want it to be at the expense of all of these lives.
Correct.
But I think if I take anything from that, it's just that sometimes as investors, you don't know what's going to happen. So you might as well keep investing. Like, don't panic and sell, because
you say it all the time.
As tragic as a war is, as to me, pointless. Mm-hmm. Like, war is up there with like walking up to somebody that you disagree with and just punching them in the face.
Mm-hmm. What, like, is this of?
Yeah. Like, so we're going to talk today about this war or this conflict. I don't know. It's a war to me.
Like, it's a war.
You firing missiles, that's a war.
That is a war.
You ripping out and killing the leader of another country,
that's war.
You bombing people,
and
feels like war to me.
It is war.
I punch you in your face and say, no, that wasn't a fight I was starting. That was a difference of opinion.
We're not sugarcoating this.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, we were already talking about it, but the second time in just a couple of weeks, we attacked the leader of another country. This time we killed the supreme leader of Iran, whose name is Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. I practice that a lot.
Okay.
To be able to say that properly. And so, yeah, we're going to talk this week about like really breaking down this war, like this conflict, what has happened, what we expect is going to happen. We're going to break down the economics of the war too. This is, I think, really, really compelling. Like when you get into the financial cost.
Oh, for sure.
And as always, we'll end with just a discussion on what you should be doing and thinking as an investor.
Yep.
As a operator of your own personal household.
So I can't lie, my shallow self, not shallow, my practical self was mm-hmm. like, the daughter will be home for spring break soon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we have not been driving that car. So I'm like, we should go fill up now.
Yeah.
As opposed to the end of the week.
I mean, listen, that's, I'm not mad at that.
I mean, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, there's a big impact on oil and gas prices, yeah. And we'll get into that for sure.
Yeah.
So we always start with stats. We got a lot of stats because there's like a lot of stats around this war. We're going to start with deaths. 1,200 so far.
Reported
deaths.
Which means there are probably more.
These deaths were not all in Iran. They certainly were not all Iranian citizens or the leaders of the Iranian government or military. Yes, many people were killed in Iran. A lot of them were civilians, by the way. And there have been deaths in Kuwait, because you figure, you know, Iran is striking back. So we've had deaths in Kuwait.
That's where our soldiers died.
Yep. In the UAE, in Israel, in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Nationalities killed have been Iranian, American, Filipino, Pakistani, Nepalese, and Bangladeshi.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of folks catching strays that had nothing to do with this.
Because
really, like a lot of these Gulf Coast, like these Persian Gulf countries, they're not really our ally per se, but they're our friends.
Yeah.
And so Iran's like, look, we can't reach the shores of the U.S., but we can hit y'all friends.
Your friends.
And that hurts. As you mentioned, there were 6 American service members killed in Kuwait, 4 of whom were Army Reserve soldiers. I always hate when it's like the reserves, I think they go into it not knowing that it's dangerous because like you may not have a full-time job in the military, but the moment something pops off, you're being sent right out there.
Right. So they were in Kuwait, which was not expected to be high risk area. And I learned just today, the day of this taping, at least 2 of the reservists were due to return home, like very shortly in a span of 3 months or less.
So sad. And I saw 4 of their photos, and it's just, you know, it's regular people.
Yeah. They were suppliers of food and supplies.
Yeah. It ain't Pete Hegseth's
family. To frontline soldiers. Right.
It's so easy to get up there and talk tough. I'm the chairman of war, whatever he wants to call himself, god of war, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not your family being risked out there. 31 people in Lebanon killed, 11 in Israel. And some of the folks killed in Israel were Filipino caretakers. They were health workers.
Mm-hmm.
Just sad, yo. In one single deadly incident, there were 160 people killed at a strike on a girls' primary school in Iran.
Yep.
Which included many school children.
Yep.
It's a girls' school. Like, these are little girls that are getting killed.
Yep.
The UN isn't happy, right? The UN, UNESCO, which is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, that's an agency of the UN based in Paris. They said, this is a grave violation of humanitarian law. Like, a lot of countries are like, look, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Y'all ain't consult with me.
What went wrong that we struck a school?
Yeah. They're just shooting at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess someone could say, oh, they're hiding in the school. Like, for one.
I haven't heard that.
It's also like, it's Ramadan.
My pastor talked about that Sunday. This is one of the few times where Ramadan and the Lenten season kicked off on the same day.
Yeah.
And how sad it is that this could have been such a spiritual awakening globally because of those two observances starting at the same time.
Imagine if we got, God forbid, I was going to say, imagine we got bombed on Easter or on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, it feels like, you know, a little bit of a religious attack.
Yep.
More numbers. The Strait of Hormuz is closed.
Mm-hmm.
I got to describe this. This is the analogy I came up with. Tell me if you like this. I have a little map. I can't like give you the map verbally, but I can like try to paint the picture. All right.
And it's definitely Hormuz. Hormuz.
Hormuz. H-O-R-M-U-Z.
I'm just picking with
you. Mm-hmm. So the Strait of Hormuz is like a really, really important transit way. So you've got, imagine for a moment, you've got, just picture your arm and your armpit and your body right here.
Okay.
For me, I'm touching like my pec, like
okay.
this little area, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Iran is the arm, or Iran is the arm. I got Iraq is my shoulder. And then on my pectoral muscle, my chest, I've got the UAE, I've got Qatar, I've got Bahrain, I've got Kuwait, and Dubai is over there too.
Yeah.
And the space
in
between.
It's a narrow waterway.
Yeah, it's the Strait of Hormuz. So all of those nations I named, they're all, and also Saudi's right there. Saudi's like at my nipple in that example, okay?
Okay.
And all of those nations I named, these are our world's biggest oil producers. Mm-hmm. They're all right there. And that little body of water is how all that oil gets shipped out to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That strait is closed effectively. Like nothing is, is flowing through there. Mm-hmm. So typically 20 million barrels of oil per day go through there. This one little armpit area. Hate to call it an armpit. In my little visual, okay.
Listeners, we encourage you to go look at this region on a map.
Yeah. And y'all gonna be like, yo, you're right. Saudi Arabia is the nipple. That's exactly right.
Yes, that's what we want you to take away.
But the 20 million barrels a day is 20% of all of the oil that gets used. It's 19% of all the liquefied natural gas that gets used in this world, not just, you know, in America or anything like that. It's 30% of Europe's jet fuel. So how you fly planes is jet fuel. And the majority of that oil, it goes to China, India, Japan, and South Korea. Now, like China has over 1 billion people, one of the world's biggest economies, if not the world's biggest. India also has 1 billion people, huge economy. Japan is a major part of the developed world. And South Korea is really important.
South Korea is struggling right now.
South Korea stock, like there's been multiple days the market's dropped. Today was 8%. A couple days ago was 10%.
Yep.
And like literally just recently we started talking about South Korea is a great place to invest because of the tech stuff that's happening there. But if they can't get their oil, they can't run their plants, they can't make the chips, they can't make the TVs and the Samsung phones and everything else. Like this war disrupts a lot of that. The numbers. Other numbers. This is really interesting too. So one of the things that caused the Strait of Hormuz to close, it isn't like, because Iran doesn't own it. Like, it's just that they're right there. Like, they can fire missiles at boats that go through there.
Right, they can influence what's happening.
But what's really happening is the insurance companies. The insurance companies are like, look, we are not insuring you to travel through this area because it's dangerous. So if you want to go, you're going to go without any insurance coverage.
Without any protection.
Are you shipping your oil through there?
Right.
With, like, just butt naked, no insurance? So that's what's caused it to halt. Usually there's like 24 ships a day that pass through this strait. It's dropped to anywhere between 0 and 4.
Yeah. And are they really going through or did they stop and they're pushing them through and then really no one's going through?
I mean, really effectively.
Who wants to take the risk?
Effectively, nobody's going through there.
The economic risk and the security risk.
Mm-hmm. Insurance premiums for war have skyrocketed. So if they do give you any insurance, It increased by 250K per passage.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who's going to pay for that?
I mean, it's the end user.
It's the consumer.
Which is you.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yes. Sis.
Your kids call you bruh a lot?
Yes and no. Like, they just...
Yeah.
Bruh is just a word. It's not person anymore.
Yeah, it's just for emphasis.
Yeah. They do call me bro, and there is a difference between bro and bruh.
Bruh, you're in trouble.
Bruh is more like an expression.
Yeah.
Bro is directed at, like, why are you like this, bro?
Yeah.
That's directed but towards
bruh
me.
Bruh is like, come bruh on.
Bruh is like, bruh.
Like, come on.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you. So
the amount of decoding I have done to understand my young adults is.
Yeah. And they make up words like at an alarming pace. Like, we made up words, but they are really making up words.
Or acronyms and shortcuts.
Yeah. My dad.
Sharing lows. Sharing lows is going to be the death of me.
Sharing lows.
Locations.
Oh.
My daughter has a ridiculous number of people's locations.
Yeah.
She has high school friends and teammates' locations that she never turned off.
Mm.
And then it's just expanded now that she's in college. So she's got teammates and it's crazy. I'm like, if she opens her locations, it's just like hundreds of dots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people do you share your location with?
Three.
How many?
Husband and two, both children.
Yeah. I share mine with zero. Like, I'm not trying to do all that. Like, just a generational difference.
It's safety for me.
Yeah, that's
good. And they all share their location with
you. What about
your
mom? Does your mom share a location with you?
No, we don't. We would have to use an app for that. Yeah. But we are starting to consider that for my in-laws because they live 2 hours away.
Yeah, and I put this on my dad's thing, like his phone, and he keeps turning it off. Like, it's a generational difference. Like, I don't want to be tracked. My pops don't want to be tracked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, your mom probably.
So they'll have to learn, just like my children had to learn.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to track where you're going. Like, I don't have that kind of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Although I did for like 2 weeks when they both started college. But like, it's usually I need to call. Let me see if she's in class.
Yeah.
Or let me see if he's at work or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids are being tracked. My wife, she tracks the kids. Like, right. I ain't.
I have it, but they track me too on occasion. Yeah. Where you at? Why are you at so-and-so? And you know who that's coming from.
Yeah, I picked my daughter up last night. Mm-hmm. She asked me all these questions. I was like, yo, am I on trial right
now?
Yeah,
seriously. What's going on? They don't think we're supposed to live without them. Yeah, but anyway.
It's funny.
It's a nice distraction from the state of the world.
I'm just trying to keep it light, y'all. I know. This is deep stuff.
I know.
We're giving our war report today. So more stats. So oil and gas impact. Because of all of the oil that gets shipped through the Strait of Hormuz that is closed, oil prices are going up. So far, there's been about a 16% in the prices in the U.S. The WTI, the West Texas Intermediate oil price, has gone up by 16%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might think, what does that have to do with us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the U.S. is actually a significant oil producer.
Correct.
But, like, it's a global market. So, like, if there's no oil, if there's not enough oil out there, then they need to pull it from our side of the world. It makes our prices go up. It's all connected. Now, yes, it's good that we have access to Venezuela, but we haven't built anything there yet to get production going again.
And we can't use most of that sludge anyway.
Yeah, and their oil ain't like our oil. Like, it's a little different, right? And so our oil prices are up 16%, which means our gas prices, to your earlier point, are rising.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so crazy, we just did a State of the Union a couple of days ago. And
before this strike,
he was bragging about how gas prices were down.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of the fact that they're up 9% already.
Yep.
And diesel prices are up 11%. And what is that impact? What is diesel price impact? Well, any
transportation
goods or services that you receive that have been shipped somewhere.
Yep.
So your FedEx, your whatever Walmart is charging, like all of this stuff is going up.
I noticed you didn't say Amazon because you're not buying from there.
Yeah, I don't shop on
Amazon. Based on last week.
No, I don't shop on Amazon. I already wasn't
at all.
Nah. I mean, look, my family has an Amazon account. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't do it, but, like, it's being done in my house.
Okay.
Prime Video is something that I do use because a lot of black movies are on Prime Video that aren't other places.
There are black products that are sold on Amazon.
Not to mention, like, you know, low-key, I'm an Amazon shareholder, but I'm against the company.
I know. Like, I got you. You know, I understand.
I'll use my profits for good.
You know I'm always going to be like, so,
yeah.
What you really doing?
Globally, oil prices are up about 14%. And the forecasts are not good. I mean, they're good if you're an oil company, I guess. If you're Exxon Mobil, maybe these are good. But, you know, oil was at $67 not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Now the forecast, Barclays thinks oil's going to $100. UBS thinks it's going to $120.
That's, I mean, that's doubling.
Yeah. Yeah. That means gas could double.
I'm about to be working come close from home to it every day.
I mean, this is what we're talking about. Natural gas in Europe jumped 30% to 50% in a week. Natural gas is how you heat your house. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not manufacturing anything. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just sitting at home.
Right. So you're going to pay one way or another. I'm sitting here saying I'm going to work at home, but yeah. I got to heat the house.
Sit at
it's
home.
Still winter.
With no heat on. Eating no food. Right. Natural gas is used in fertilizer. Bruh. Like, it's all related. So we're talking about our war report today. We're breaking down the fallout economically, the numbers from this war, the economics of this war, and ultimately what it means for you as an investor. We'll go to break. When we come back, we'll keep the conversation moving.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
And we're back. War's still happening.
Yeah. How do you feel about traveling during this time, particularly flying?
I mean, look, we're in a little bubble over here. Like, most of my travel is domestic in the sense that, like, I don't suspect that. I know I'm covered by God at all times. I just don't suspect that this stuff is going to make it all the way over here anytime soon. So I'm okay, but I will say one of my young bucks, like one of my a guy who I mentor, he took his mom and his aunt on a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Dubai, and they're stuck. All these flights that have been canceled.
Yeah.
And he said going outside, it's like Star Wars happening over your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's far off in the distance in some cases. Some cases, it's right up and close and personal, but you're seeing missiles and drones colliding in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other way out of there unless take a ship. But, like, you can't get out
or a shuttle to another country that's also in harm's way, that you get to an airport that has open airspace. Like, you're taking a chance whether you move or stay.
Yeah, I don't know. I got my young buck, he's a Nigerian guy. He took his mom, you know what I mean? And like, that's mom. Like, you risking mom right now?
Have you heard from him?
He's been making posts on social media, and that's the only reason I know what's going on with him.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but on that point of tourism, Iran, you know, they're clapped back. They've launched 189 ballistic missiles, 941 drone attacks, 3 cruise missiles. And all of this was just going towards the UAE. They're like, look, we're going to hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In Dubai, the Palm Hotel was struck.
Yep.
The Fairmont Palm Hotel. The Palm Jumeirah. It's that beautiful, like, archipelago of island hotels.
Yeah.
That was hit.
I know a good friend who just returned from Bahrain on Friday.
The Dubai International Airport was hit. And Dubai International Airport, quiet as it's kept, that's the world's busiest airport.
The busiest international
and
airport.
And it's been closed, bruh.
Yep.
21,000 flights have been canceled at 7 major airports in the whole region, to your point. Additionally, we talked about Amazon a second ago in Abu Dhabi. Amazon Web Services has a data center there. It was struck. It caught on fire. There were all kinds of power issues. So they're going after the tech infrastructure over mm-hmm. there. Internet's down.
Yeah, people can't get real live updates on what's going on around them.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine.
These Middle East airports account for 14% of international travel. This is a hub. A lot of flights connect over there, even if you're not visiting those areas.
Yep.
The estimates are that tourism could drop by 11 to 27% this year.
I think it's more than that.
And that would translate to 23 to 38 million fewer international visitors and a loss of $34 to $56 billion in visitor spending.
11 to 27%.
That's a bit. I mean, you could drive a truck through that estimate. That's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference. But I'm saying, right now, you can't get in or out.
So there's a presumption that the stuff opens back up.
Okay.
But it's like.
But who's trying to go there?
Yeah, that's the thing. That was the whole concept.
Even if there were plans already in place, completed and paid for.
I ain't going anywhere near there.
I know a family that planned a trip to Dubai for their spring break, Easter break.
Yeah.
Not going.
Yeah. So we broke down a lot of the numbers of what has happened. I'm just going to take a couple minutes on the why part. Have you seen how the why has
changed? Do you understand why?
Do I understand why?
We've been here before. We've seen this movie. It's never what's being said.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's been said.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you what I really think.
What we see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's some of the why. So February 28th, we said that Iran was preparing to attack us, U.S. forces. Then later they changed it and said, on February 28th, later that day, this is now Trump speaking, he said, this is for a regime change. He told the Iranians over video on that day, February 28th, take over your government. It will be yours to take. Next, we have Trump envoy Steve Witkoff saying Iran was a nuclear threat. They were probably a week away from making nuclear bombs. Trump and the State of the Union said that Iran would soon have this capability. And our intelligence has contradicted both those claims.
9 years.
It's like the weapons of mass destructive. It's like the weapons of mass destructions that we never found in Iraq over again.
And just some months ago, we bombed a nuclear facility claiming to have obliterated what was being created.
Yeah.
So we got that wrong.
Bruh.
And that costs a lot of money.
It sure does. And we'll get into
that. And while
that.
We can boast that no lives were lost, no American lives were lost,
Yeah.
We got it wrong.
Yeah. And in reality, what gives us the right to do any of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did this to us, we'd be ready to kill everybody, mm-hmm. right? We don't get to just do this
mm-hmm.
with nobody but Israel having our back.
Mm.
Next, we had Marco Rubio on March 2nd. He said that we knew that Israel was going to strike.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Israel strikes, then we thought that our American forces would be at risk. So we had to get in on it, basically. Mm-hmm.
Or else we'd suffer higher casualties.
And then finally, we had Trump with the final flip.
Contradicted Rubio, mm-hmm. saying that Iran itself was about to attack. And he specifically said, and I quote, "It was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack if we didn't do it."
Yeah.
So you have leaders of the administration, direct reports to the president of the United States, who were sending different messages. Not just
inside the same administration.
Not just a nuance of words. Literally saying contradictory things.
Yeah. I'm going to just go backwards now.
Yeah.
They were going to attack us. No, we want their regime to change.
Mm-hmm.
No, they actually were about to have some nuclear bombs. Mm-hmm. No, Israel was going to strike them. No, they were going to strike us.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it? It makes you not believe any of it. You can't even keep it straight inside your own administration. I don't believe any of it.
Same thing happened with the president's press secretary. who was asked by reporters a valid question, which was, well, she commented first that these attacks had been planned and strategized for a long time. And so with that thought, you would think we would have fewer, if any, American citizens who were trapped and basically couldn't get out. Yeah. So then she goes on to say, no, we've had travel warnings as recently or as far back as January. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the department, the State Department website, many of those countries were not listed as high-risk places to travel to. So it's like...
It don't make sense.
And then the people who are there are saying the number to the to the embassies don't work, or the federal, the U.S. government is actually saying, oh, you can't rely on us to get out. Man. You need to get out, but don't rely on us to get out. What can you believe or trust?
Yeah. All right. So I said I'd tell you what I think happened. So let's look at what Netanyahu from Israel said. He said, and this is, he put out a video. He said, the coalition of forces allows us to do what I have yearned to do for 40 years.
Very telling.
I've wanted to do this for 40 years.
Very telling.
This doesn't sound like there was an imminent threat. It's like, yo, I've been trying to do this for a long time.
Yep.
And now I'm going to go backwards. In 1992, Israel said that Iran was 3 to 5 years away. So by 97, they'd be having nuclear bombs. And in 93, they said that they would have it by 99. They moved it out 2 years. Then in 95, they said it'd be another 3 to 5 years. Then in 96, they said it's getting extremely close. Then in 2002, again, this is when we invaded Iraq right after 9/11. Again, there was testimony that Iraq was going to have weapons of mass destruction. Then in 2009, the Israelis said that, again, Iran was 1 or 2 years away. Then in 2012, they said it was a few weeks away. Then, and I'm not laughing, like, I'm just saying it's like...
It's that ridiculous.
It really is feeling like the boy that cried wolf. And like, the thing about it, like, of course I don't want Iran or anybody to be developing new nuclear capabilities for weapons. But like, we blew up their stuff. They said they're not doing it. Maybe I can't believe them. But like, none of this makes me feel any more safe.
Right.
Like, it really doesn't. And again, in this current statement, I did what we were trying to do for 40 years. So it's like, yo, this is why we did it. Like, Israel is our ally. And Israel, by the way, has just done some horrible things.
Yes.
Some absolutely things that were inhumane, that were not humanitarian.
Yep.
In Palestine.
Yes.
With no remorse.
But it feels to me like, and I'm no Middle East expert, no war strategist, no political pundit, but it seems like Israel feels emboldened because they believe that the U.S. has its back.
Yeah, and by the way, Israel received some horrible things that happened to them too.
Like, no question. I want to
acknowledge that.
We're,
like, this
yes,
is one where it's just
correct,
like 2 plus 2 equals 0. Like,
yes,
it's yep, all bad.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is what's happening. So we are in a pickle. I'm just going to break this down a little bit, okay? Number one, we've got a bunch of countries in that, you know, in that area of the world that have a bunch of oil, but they can't send it out because the Strait of Hormuz is closed.
Still a supply issue.
Our friends in the Gulf, they're in a weak position right now. Like, they didn't want this war to happen. They weren't consulted on it, but like, their whole economy could collapse because of this.
Yep.
Right? Like, tourism is going to be down. Like, you think Amazon and these tech companies are going to want to build another data center
right
out there? You think these hotel companies are going to want to keep expanding out there? Like, they are screwed. And they, you know, said, look, we're not allowing the U.S. or Israel to launch any attacks from our soil. So they're trying to, like, be neutral,
mm-hmm,
but they are catching all the strays. By just, and they're not even literally a formal ally. We don't have like it's not like NATO. Like, we don't have like a true treaty with them, but they're catching it. So that's part of the bind. The next bind is like Russia kind of wins in this scenario. Like, if y'all can't get oil from, you know, OPEC,
yep,
then get it from us.
Yeah.
China,
yep,
India,
mm-hmm,
whoever. And like, how do you think Russia's paying for his war in Ukraine? Selling oil, bruh.
Yes.
Now they've got.
And now nobody's talking about prices, the Russia-Ukraine war either.
Yeah, at higher oil prices, Russia has more money to do more damage. Other parts of this situation that's got us in a bind. The Fed. All right, the Fed's been saying, like, look, we've shifted from looking at inflation. We ain't worried about that right now. We're instead going to look at the job market,
right,
which is definitely getting weaker.
Yes.
But now inflation might come back.
Yes.
What's the Fed going to do? We said that they may cut rates 2 times, maybe 3. They could end up having to raise interest rates at some point.
Crazy to think.
Because of this.
Crazy to think.
The pickle that we're in. So let's talk about this math for a second. This is like, this was really interesting, like, to look at this.
How will you describe this math? Well, let's talk about it
the
first.
The math, it's just, the math ain't mathing is what's happening. Like, drones and missiles are really inexpensive. And these drone interceptors are very expensive.
Right.
So if it costs me like 20 grand to send a drone to drop bombs and fire explosives, and it costs you millions of dollars to build an interceptor to stop that drone,
right,
or a missile system to stop that drone,
mm-hmm,
like, eventually you're going to run out of those mechanisms.
Yep.
Or you're going to run out of money.
Yep.
One or the other. So, like, if I'm Iran, and I'm not a war strategist, and I hope they don't do this, but, like, yo, I'm going to keep firing everything I got.
That's kind of what they're doing.
Understanding that you're going to run out of defense after a while.
Yeah.
It's like in boxing.
Like, who's going to run out first? Are they going to run out of stuff to fire? Or are we going to, our allies and other people who need to defend themselves, other countries that need to defend themselves, going to run out of interceptors?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're dealing with. It's a war of attrition. Like, eventually, like, you're going to run out of money. You're going to stop, you know, want to stop the killing. Like, because you can't do a ground fight in Iran. Like, it's too mountainous. It's, like, treacherous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, so all you can do is this space age
air
stuff.
Assaults.
Yeah. You can't even get into that strait because they've got, you know, missiles and stuff. They're all, their navy is lined up right there.
Yep.
So it's tough. It's absolutely tough. It could cost, like, some of these interceptors could cost $15 million. We can only create like 6 or 7 of them a month. And sometimes you need 2 or 3 of them to stop one missile.
At the same time. Yep.
So you could, like, literally, like, they could make us run out of these things.
This is so depressing.
Yeah.
So depressing.
It's a tough spot. War. Huh. What is it good for, Andrea?
Not singing with you today.
Yeah.
I'm too down.
So?
I can't lie. I'm down.
Yeah.
I have hope. I have faith, but I don't know.
The thing that really bothers me, just like the bravado of, like, the Secretary of War. Changed his name to that, by the way. It used to be Secretary of Defense. Of Defense. Now it's Secretary of War. Like, we on the offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we about to be out here bombing and taking names.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't your family that's at risk.
I was going to say, like, what, back in the day, what does he have to lose?
Like, our presidents were generals.
Like, he was a reservist, right? But he spent his career as an anchor.
Yeah, he's an anchor. Like, he ain't.
And actually, I mean, are we even really a journalist? We were just a personality to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it ain't your family that's got to go.
Correct.
You know how many family members I have in the military?
Same.
In the reserves?
Same.
Like, yeah. So we'll go to break. We come back. We'll just talk about what the impact will be on us as investors and what you should do with your money, if anything.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Momentum. I feel like I just want to take a day and just lay in the bed. Like, I don't want to.
You can't.
I don't want to do anything.
You can't do that. You can't. Like, because more bad stuff's going to happen. And then your phone's going to be blowing up. That's like the worst sleep, is when you're trying to, like, get some rest. And, like,
it's,
you know,
restful.
There's activity happening that needs your attention.
Yeah. It's just going to pile up. So you're going to have to deal with it.
the real worst is like when you're like, you do take that moment. You mm-hmm. turn your phone off or whatever. And then you turn your phone on and it's like, bzz, 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 bzz. Like, oh my God, what's happening?
Right.
Or a client texts you and you're like, wait, what?
Always happens when I'm on a plane though.
Yeah.
Without fail, every mm-hmm. single time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate it.
Anyway.
I hate it. So, impact on investments.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'll tell you is that this is creating some volatility, some stuff to go up, some stuff to go down. The biggest things I'm seeing is like a lot of the countries that are impacted by that Strait of Hormuz that aren't receiving their oil, that can't run their plants, those stock markets are going down. The big one I'm seeing is South Korea. Like, yeah, I actually think South Korea is a great investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that market's down a lot. A lot of these.
Double digits?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emerging market stocks, a lot of them we were just talking about, Sell America Trade, you know what I mean? Like, these are markets that trade at good prices and all that. They're trading with one another because of the tariffs. Like, a lot of those very countries are, you know, at risk right now. So again, we're still global, like stay global.
It's a global economy.
But like, you know, the person that wanted to sell all their US stocks and buy all international is kind of screwed right now. And that's the thing, like, we've always invested globally.
Yes.
It's like, yo, I don't know what's going to happen. If I knew, I would only do that.
None of us know.
Inflation could be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation we know is bad for bonds. We just finished saying that we thought bonds were going to be good this year.
Yeah.
Inflation is like kryptonite for bonds.
It is.
Yeah. Inflation is like water for gremlins or staying up after midnight or eating food after midnight. What was the thing for gremlins?
Wasn't it all of it?
Yeah. Don't
Definitely
get them wet.
Water.
Don't get them wet.
Don't let them eat after
don't
midnight.
Don't feed them after midnight.
Yeah.
That's inflation for bonds.
Correct.
Yeah, very bad. Other things that did well when inflation was high, I mean, gold
yeah.
is a good inflation hedge.
I expected on Monday, I expected the markets to tank. They yeah. didn't.
They tanked at first and then they bounced back.
Was that Monday or was that Tuesday?
Monday.
Okay. The days all run together. Yeah. I don't know anymore.
It's been volatile.
It's been volatile.
You're not wrong.
Yep.
Like, it tanked big time,
mm-hmm.
and then it rallied.
Mm-hmm.
This week, though, things are down on average.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's, you know, week's not over yet, so who knows, but.
Yeah, but again, if you're up, investing down. For the long term,
mm-hmm.
and you've got some cash.
Yeah.
Hold on to some cash.
Yeah.
But you probably stand to make some money.
Yeah.
If you buy the dip for quality.
Yeah.
So for long-term investing.
Look out, you know, so not just bonds, but like your cash.
Yeah.
Like your cash is being eroded by this mm-hmm. inflation that could be coming back. The Fed may not cut rates. We talked about that already. And in fact, they might, if there's a big energy price shock, if rate, you know, if oil prices jump, if prices at the pump jump, they may have to tighten or raise rates quickly. Like they might have to be abrupt with that. So just be careful about that. If I'm looking to borrow money, I might want to borrow it now
mm-hmm.
versus waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Because rates could go higher.
Sure, for sure.
If inflation goes up, I'd rather borrow the money
now.
Need
a personal day. I need a personal day.
Listen.
I need to go get my...
granted.
Get my stuff together.
If there's inflation, like you'd rather borrow the money today and pay it back with money that's been eroded. Like,
yes.
When there's inflation, it's a time to be borrowing money for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that we expect. So this war is not popular. Only 27% of Americans approve of this Iran strike mm-hmm. situation.
Yep.
And we got a midterm around the corner. Folks are worried about affordability.
It's not even, it's like down the street. It's not even around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying it just feels that close.
Yeah.
Because primary season is upon us.
Mm-hmm. So, like, be on the lookout for, like, political change afoot.
Afoot.
I also said archipelago. You ain't catch that.
I did catch that.
You didn't
I just wasn't
that.
Impressed by it. I mean, it's the...
The bar has risen.
It just... I'm sorry. Afoot sounds British. I'm sorry, you're disappointed that I didn't. I didn't miss it. I just
was like, archipelago that I just scared it.
Right. And I said nothing. I went back to the notes.
Yeah, archipelago. That's a five-syllable
that's not
word.
Multisyllabic. Yeah. That's not the bar though.
Okay.
The bar is not the number of syllables.
All right, a foot.
Sometimes the small words
changes could be
when
a foot,
used
Andre.
Effectively. Sometimes the small words when used effectively are require more skill.
Okay.
It's the vocalist that does all runs all the time. Or the basketball player who's not Steph Curry, only makes three-pointers. Yeah. Like, you know, it's...
I got you.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a compliment. Other things that we expect. So our deficit, like, remember, we just did a big tax cut.
Right. Like, are we going to pay
now
for
we're about
stuff?
To spend more money.
Yes.
Like, our deficit already was up.
Tariffs? Nobody's trading right now.
Oh, the tariffs are turned off. Like, you can't bring the tariffs in. Even if they were trading, they're off.
Right.
And so there's a big chance that our government deficit is about to go up, up, up. Which means interest rates higher by default. Like if you have a big hole in your budget, your credit rating is, you know, at risk, which means if you want to borrow money, I'm going to charge you a little bit more.
Right.
Because I can.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Which means... The one, I guess, positive in that, the dollar should strengthen as a result because money chases higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar's been rallying in the last couple of days.
I saw.
Not because they think this was a good thing that we struck Iran, but
exactly.
They're like, the market's like,
twisted.
Yo, I bet them jokers going to have to raise these rates
right.
pretty soon.
That's exactly right.
Because the government budget is upside down because the Fed may have no choice.
That's right. So now that we brought everybody down.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we end with portfolio ideas.
Sure. Okay.
Not because that's what it says in the notes, but because we want to end us at All least right. on a slightly positive, more positive note.
All right.
Okay. Interestingly enough, and I have such, I'm conflicted inside about this. Markets have historically posted gains during wartime. Including double-digit increases during both Gulf Wars, 3 to 3 and 6 months after the onset.
Yeah.
The defense sector was the leader there.
How do you feel about that? Sense. Have you ever bought defense stocks? Like on purpose. Like I am going to do a ETF that buys defense stocks.
I've done it through an ETF.
Yeah.
I was a believer in Lockheed Martin at one time. But not during times of conflict. I didn't do it at those times for that reason. There were other compelling reasons.
Yeah, they do other stuff besides war. They're government contractors. Yeah. Well, that's an idea. Like it's one that I've never done. I've obviously thought about it, but like, I don't know. I don't like guns personally. Like I'm not a gun person.
Yeah.
Like
same.
Palantir, which we talked about last week and all the stuff they're doing. Like, I just never wanted to be a part of it. If a client really wanted that, I will help them.
Right.
I look at them a little sideways, but like it's a chance to make money, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess like I know I have family and friends who work for Lockheed Martin. So, it's complicated.
Yeah.
As I always say.
I think other things going back to that long-term view, like wars happen. Like they happen every couple of years. Like geopolitical risk is a regular thing. It's like so regular that this, as much as it feels like a really, really big deal, and it is, especially if you or your family member is killed or trapped in an airport in another country, it's a big deal. But at the same time, it happens so regularly that it's like part of the program at this point.
It's always in the backdrop.
Mm-hmm. Certain sectors will probably do better than others. We think, you know, like you said, defense, I guess, security, aerospace, and industrial. Industries like anywhere that's exposed to this government spending increase.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity, maybe. I don't know.
You know what's interesting? There's some, the beauty industry is said to be recession proof.
Yeah.
Because one thing about, I'm going to say people, because I'm not going to limit it to just women.
Yeah.
That would be a little narrow minded. Still going to buy a tube of lipstick, lip gloss, going to buy stuff that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and at the same time, the prices might go up a little bit on you, which as a stockholder could
absolutely
be good for you.
But if you think about a small dollar item, mm-hmm. even if the price goes up, we don't feel like we're like a luxury brand name lipstick might cost you $30, but you still have the $10 to $15 drugstore lipstick. So mm-hmm. maybe you don't buy, you know, the high-end brand, but I don't know.
On that same note, people buy alcohol stocks during times like this.
Yeah. You know? That too.
I'm just depressed. I'm bored. I'm whatever. Like
certain consumer spending things will pull back, but others will stay steady.
So, talk to your advisors about it. Talk to us about it. Like, we really pride ourselves in really helping our clients to express themselves through their investments. What they're seeing, what they're feeling, what they want their money to say about them.
Yeah.
This is a great time to be talking to your advisor about, hey.
Things you want to stay away from.
There is a whole war going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other day, we have clients.
No matter what they call it.
For sure. Mm-hmm. We have clients, some are Trump supporters. And mm-hmm. We had a client the other day who wanted me to research this one particular ETF that follows the trades that the Republican Senate congressmen mm-hmm. are pursuing.
Yes.
And I looked into it, I was like, you know what? I mean.
Not mad at it.
For you?
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So we've talked about this war. We gave our war report and some ideas on what to do. And at the same time, we don't have a crystal ball and, stay diversified, stay invested, like always. Like if you're really worried.
Like always.
Cut your own budget at home. Cook some food instead of buying out. That these are the types of things that you're in control over. You can't control the war.
That's right.
When it's time to vote, vote. When it's time to protest, protest. But at the same time, there's limits to what you can control. So keep on doing it. Keep
control
on doing what you need to do.
That you can.
That's all you can do.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
That's it.
So that you can weather these war storms.
And for me, politically, I'm just letting the folks in charge do whatever they're going to do. I can't do anything about it for real. I could.
Not at this point.
I can defund the companies that are funding them. I can vote for the people I want to vote for that have my values in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can, give to the fundraisers of the PACs and, political and social organizations that I want. But I can't make them stop.
Right.
So we got to wait it out a little bit. And that's part of it. Just don't give up.
Don't panic. Don't panic sell.
Yeah.
Don't panic buy either.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't sound like it goes together, but.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I see this thing's down. Let me buy a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, keep listening to the Momentum Advisors. I can't lie. Our content is kind of fire. Even if millions of people aren't listening to it every week, we're going to keep putting it out.
We keep putting it out.
Tell your friends about us.
Yep.
Give us a review on one of your podcasting platforms. Five stars. If you have less than five, give us.
Give us a review, but give us five stars.
Give us a five-star review that we want. And if you need help, if you want someone to look at your investments with you, to look at your retirement plan, to just give you some general feedback on how you're doing financially. And you've got some investments. I always mm-hmm. got to preface it with that.
We are planners, but we got to have something to work with.
I'll have more to talk about if you have some investments already.
Yes.
Feel free to visit our website, momentum-advisors.com. Go to the contact page and you can schedule time with me or Andrea.
Or anyone else on our team.
That's a fact.
Get tired of hearing from us.
Very strong team, very diverse team.
That doesn't really happen though.
And I'm proud of them. Now people like talking to you. You're winning right now. More people hit you up I'm telling you.
Is it about quantity or quality?
And my name shows up before yours because of the alphabetical situation. They're feeling you out here.
I'm not even tracking.
Yeah, I am. I'm not salty about it. I'm not salty about it at
all. You did not hesitate. Yeah, I'm tracking.
So keep listening. We'll be back next week.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Momentum.